book of John, chapter number 11. John, chapter number 11. It is a joy to be here tonight in these services. I have enjoyed the good singing. Glad we got something to sing about. And I have appreciated the preaching tonight about brokenness. I appreciate the challenge to my own heart and life. Brother Tom has been a help and a strength to me down through the years. It's an honor to be here. I do want to say that I appreciate Calvary Baptist Church. Appreciate your pastor, how God has touched his life and has used him to be a blessing to a lot of people. But I appreciate the church. On March 17th, 1974, on a Sunday evening, after my wife and I had gotten married on Sunday afternoon, we came to a church service in the old church and then went on our honeymoon. And that's been a highlight in our life. That's been a milestone. Say, I wouldn't have done it that way. Well, you wasn't the one getting married. I was. That's the way we've done it. And I don't regret it. Glad my wife's able to be with me tonight. And if I remember correctly, we was probably sitting about the same spot in the church and heard Brother Buren preach that night. It's a blessing to our hearts. But if you're willing and able, would you stand at the reading of God's Word tonight? I want to begin at verse number 1, a familiar story. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And I'm glad I can say he loves me. And he loves you. Verse 32 said, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead,
saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, that thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. You can be seated tonight. I am interested in verse number 43, where the scripture says, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus spake only 3 simple words. But as a result of speaking 3 simple words, he that was dead came alive. He that was bound was loose. I realize that there are several occasions where our Savior only speaks 3 simple words. He said to the multitude one day, remember Lot's wife. He gave them 3 words of caution. And lest there be someone here tonight that does not know Christ as their Savior, you better remember Lot's wife. There was another occasion when Jesus was on the shore, and the storms came, and the disciples were in the ship, and Jesus walks on the water to go where those disciples were, and they thought that he was a spirit, but he cried out and said, it is I. Be not afraid. I'm glad he gave 3 words of comfort and cheer. And tonight, when he said, Lazarus, come forth, he declares 3 words of conquering. I'm glad he overcome death. He triumphed over the grave. He raised Lazarus from the dead only with 3 simple words. And tonight, I'm glad he is our conqueror. He is our victor. Because of his victory, you and I have victory tonight. I realize that Jesus says very little and accomplishes very much. And I'm afraid that I say a lot and accomplish very little. But he could just say 3 words and the dead come to life again. Wouldn't it be a blessing in this meeting that some things that have died in your life could come to life again simply because of His Word that you hear in your heart? He is the conqueror tonight. There is a couple of thoughts that I want to just share with you this evening about these words tonight. First of all, I want to look at the prelude to these three words that are spoken. I'm talking about certain events and occurrences that took place before Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. You see, the prelude is introduction. You've been to a wedding and they've handed you a program. And at the top of that program, there is the prelude music. That is the music that introduces the ceremony. It's not the main event. The main event that was fixing to take place was that Lazarus was going to rise from the dead. But I'm glad there's some things that took place before that main event that are practical truths that can challenge and encourage the life of every child of God. I want to look at some of those for a moment tonight. You'll find that there was a conveyance of our Savior's feelings. A conveyance of our Savior's feelings. Mary comes running to the feet of Jesus. She is weeping and broken in her heart. And she said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She was saying the truth, for there was no death that ever remained when Jesus came on the scene. She knew that if the Lord had been there, Lazarus would have recovered. Lazarus would have lived. Lazarus would have not died. But the Bible said that he saw her weeping and them that were with her weeping. And he was groaning in his spirit and he was troubled. And the Bible said that Jesus wept. I'm glad tonight we don't serve a Savior who is hard and rigid. We don't serve a God who is stoic and unmoved. But I'm glad we have a Savior tonight who conveys that He can be touched with our feelings of sorrow, our feelings of grief, our pain and our agony. Oh, tonight, aren't you glad He understands where we walk and what we face? He conveys His feelings to Mary. Tonight, openly and unashamedly, Jesus weeps along with Mary. And tonight, when Jesus wept, there's a couple of things I think that are emphasized. You see, most Baptist folk, I say most, can quote this verse. Not all of them, but some of them can. And about half of them can tell you how many words are in the verse. But I'm here to tell you there's more to these two words than just the fact that Jesus wept. And tonight, I believe that He wept indignantly. That is indicated in the phrase that He groaned in His spirit and was troubled. Jesus was disturbed as He wept. And the reason was He saw the ultimate result of sin in the life of Lazarus. Now, I'm not talking about some kind of sin that Lazarus had committed that was worthy of death. John says there is a sin unto death and that can be committed, but that's not what Jesus is weeping about. That's not the sin that has occurred. Jesus is looking at what sin ultimately is going to do to every one of us. It's going to lead us down to the graveyard. It's going to bring about death under these physical bodies that we live in. And Jesus saw what sin ultimately would do to our life, and it disturbed him. He was angry at what sin was doing. Oh, would it be a blessing in the Baptist church again that we'd get disturbed about what sin is doing in the lives of individuals, us to see how it's destroying lives and minds and bodies and homes. Oh, God, help us tonight. There's no tears on the altar anymore. We're ashamed and embarrassed to get broken and tall in our spirit. But I'm glad we have a Savior tonight that wept indignantly. He was disturbed about what sin had caused to this family. Oh, tonight, you don't have to look far to see what sin has done to the lives of individuals, how it's broken homes and broken lives. Oh, we need some folks to do like Jesus again. We need to weep and cry to God. But not only does he convey his feelings by weeping indignantly, but he conveys his feelings by weeping sympathetically. You see, he is compassionate and tender toward Mary. Jesus is not just sending condolences here. He's not just writing a card expressing his sorrow that death has come to the home of Martha and Mary in taking their brother Lazarus. No, it goes farther than that. He is not just showing pity and expressing sorrow over what has occurred to Lazarus. Oh no, he is entering in to the same pain and the same grief that Mary is expressing to her Lord. The Lord is letting Mary know that he knows how she feels. He's letting Mary know that he understands where she's walking. The Bible said we have an high priest tonight who has touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Oh, aren't you glad he understands where we walk? He knows our disappointments. He knows our despair. He knows our grief and our heartache. I'm glad tonight he knows the loneliness that you feel in the house. He knows the silence that's in your soul tonight. Oh, he's a Savior that has feelings. He's a Savior that understands. He just don't send you a card expressing sorrow over what's occurred. Oh no, he doesn't send condolences by some representative to say, I'm praying for you. Oh no, he comes walking down that lonely road and walks with you into the house. He understands your pain. He knows you're crying. He knows your tears. He's a God that feels what we feel. This is the prelude. There is a conveyance of our Savior's feelings. Number two, There is a confrontation with our Savior's foes. The Bible said in verse number 36, "Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him." You ought to highlight that. They don't ever say anything good about Jesus, them Jews don't. Very seldom. And it'd be good to highlight that. Reminds me of a lot of Baptist folk in the church. They never have anything good to say about anything that goes on. And if they ever say anything good about it, you ought to put it in gold letters and hang it on the church wall. It said, behold, how he loved him. But then look in verse 36 or verse 37, and some of them, that same crowd that Tom was reading about, some of that same crowd, and some of them said, could not this man, which have opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Can you not hear the sarcasm? I'm like Brother Tom. I'd like to be there to understand, to hear the tone of the words and how they were spoken. But I can read into that some sarcasm and ridicule. They weren't interested in what Jesus was feeling. They were trying to criticize him. They were trying to belittle him publicly before everybody else. And tonight, anytime you're fixing to do something for God, you might as well understand somewhere along the way there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be a confrontation. There's going to be some hindrances. You're going to have to jump over and get through so you can get to the grave of Lazarus. There's a greater work to be done than to confront your foe. He has a confrontation. And I want you to look. Look how Jesus responded. Did you see how he set them straight? Did you read it? Did you see how he stood up to them? I read verse 38. And if it had been me, I'd like to insert it, these words. Why don't you shut your mouth and be quiet? But Jesus didn't do that. No, the Bible said, Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the cave or to the grave. He didn't even respond to them. He didn't feel like it merited a response from him. He was too busy focused on something of greater importance than to stop by and fuss with those Jews that wanted to criticize and ridicule. Lord, have you ever felt like you ought to stand up for your rights? And they ought not to have said what they said, and they ought not to have done what they done. I'm going to set them in their place. I'm going to give them what for. I'm glad Jesus didn't do that. He kept his eyes focused on going to the grave of Lazarus. He wasn't there to fight with his foes. He is there to raise Lazarus from the dead. And today, preachers, we can get so involved with issues and little things that are out to very little that we lose focus on what God put us here to do, and that's to preach the gospel and to win sinners to our Savior Jesus Christ. There's a confrontation with his foe. Now I'm here to tell you the main events are fixing to happen. There's some things happening before we ever get there that are important to our life. There's a third thing. I'm glad there is a conversation with the Savior's friend. Look what the Scripture said there. Jesus said in verse 39, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? There's a conversation going on here. Martha initiated the conversation. And to have a conversation, you have to have two. Jesus went to talking back to Martha. And you'll find that Martha here joins in with the crowd, ridiculing the Lord in a certain manner. And I'm just here to say there's some places and some people you don't really expect ridicule from, but sometimes it comes from those unexpected places. Martha is a close friend. Martha is loved by the Lord. But yet Martha here is discouraging the Lord from doing anything about Lazarus. She's expressing her hopelessness and her despair. But I'm glad in the midst of her hopelessness, there's somebody there that could shine a light in a dark time. There's somebody that had arrived that not only could prevent death to come, but if death come, he can raise them from the dead. I say hallelujah tonight. It's interesting. All she wanted to talk about was a sting. She said, Lord, by this time, he stinketh. He's been dead for, don't you know, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. Don't you love it when people try to tell the Lord, inform him on what's going on? Why, he already knew how long he'd been. He knew when he died. He had remained back at the on purpose so Lazarus would die. He was going to show the glory of God to Martha and to Mary and to the multitude that had gathered. He is going to show himself to be the sent one, a God manifested in the flesh. But all she wanted to talk about was a stink. It's amazing how many folks get stirred up over a stink. You let some little old trouble happen at the church, and folks will get, they'll get all excited about that. They'll talk about it. They'll run with it. And in our day, before they ever get out to the parking lot, they done call 15 people on their cell phone. They used to have to wait till they got home to get on the phone, but now we got cell phones. And they just want to talk about the stink that's going on and the deadness that's around. You let three or four get saved on a Sunday morning and they ain't told nobody in 3 months what kind of service they had. All they're interested in is a stink and what's dying. But hallelujah tonight, aren't you glad we got a Savior that can turn a life out of death? He can bring light from darkness. Darkness. Oh, bless his name tonight. He has a conversation with his friend. Let me show you something right here. I can tell you a good way that you know that you belong to the Lord. If you go to talking to him and he don't go to talking back to you, you can probably rest assured you don't belong to him. He didn't talk back to his enemies. But when Martha came a-talking to him and she was laying her heart open, he went to talking back to her. You know why? Because Martha belonged to him. And tonight, there are times in my life when I don't understand what's going on, and I take my complaint to the Lord, and I want to know why this is occurring. I'm glad he goes a talking back to me and lets me know he's got everything in hand. I'm talking about the prelude. He said, Martha, he said, did I not tell thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? The glory of God was the outshining of his perfections and his virtues. Jesus was fixing to confirm once again that he was not a prophet. He was not a teacher. He was not a physician, but he was the Christ, the sent one from heaven, God manifested in the flesh. He had done it early on in his ministry in the house there at Capernaum when they lowered that palsied man down. And Jesus said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And that crowd said, Who can forgive sin but God only? I'm glad Jesus said, Whether it be easier to say to this man, Take up your bed and walk, or thy sins be forgiven thee. I say, of thee, take up thy bed and walk. He declared publicly and openly that he was God. He had the authority to forgive sin. I say hallelujah tonight. I'm glad it's not based on my goodness. It's not based on my merit, but it's based on the authority of Calvary tonight. My sins are gone. They're forgiven. Now Jesus is fixing to show again publicly that he is the Christ. That's what he said to the Father there. He said, I said it like I did, and I thank you like I'm thanking you, that they may see, they may hear what I've said, and they may believe that thou hast sent me. He's fixing to outshine his glory. He's fixing to make a certain declaration that he is God by raising Lazarus from the dead. I want to say this and I'm done. Jesus, in raising Lazarus from the dead, undid what sin had caused. Sin had brought death to Lazarus. There was no remedy. There was no magical formula. There was no ritual or ceremony that could make the change. Lazarus had died, and that was the end as far as human effort was concerned. But I'm glad when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He undid what sin had caused. Oh, bless his name. He went against natural law. Why, he had been dead 4 days. The skin worms had started eating his body. Rigor mortis had set in, and his body was decaying. But I'm glad when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, he reversed everything that had occurred. He put everything back right. I say hallelujah tonight. He undid spiritual law wherever Lazarus went. When he died, when he heard those words, he come back again. I say glory tonight. Aren't you glad the Lord has the ability to give life to our deadness? I bless his name. He's the conqueror tonight. Oh, he undid what sin had done in Lazarus' life. You say, well, preacher, I would to God that I could experience something like that. Well, if you're saved, you already had. Because Paul said, and ye hath he quickened who were dead in their trespasses, in their sins. Sin had caused death in our life. Human effort and human ability could not make a change. But I'm glad the same power that he wrought in Christ in raising him from the dead quickened you and I and made us alive. I say hallelujah tonight. He's our conqueror. Would you stand? Brother Bob, if you would, get an invitational hymn. I don't know where you're at.